Joe, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Doing good, and we were talking hoops just a second ago. Shane Foster chosen first-team preseason all-conference for what that's worth. And, you know, you look at the preseason stuff, it really doesn't mean a whole lot. It's something for folks like us to talk about. But for Vanderbilt, it seems like it's an annual thing that they're always picked in the lower division, and then last year they go to the Sweet 16, and you got to be sitting there thinking, hey, get a little bit of respect here.
Well, and I think the other thing that's interesting, and you talk about it not meaning a lot seeing the preseason voting, but it's always kind of interesting to see who's selected. And when's the last time that a Florida nor a Kentucky player were either first or second team?
It would have to be, what, 15 or 20 years, I would think?
I have no idea how far back you'd have to go, but that's pretty amazing to me. But and not that I disagree necessarily with any of the voting, but no, you're right, and it's funny because the Eastern Division in basketball is very much like the Eastern Division in football. You know, when you think about it, you've got Tennessee, Kentucky, and Florida, you know, in that top half of it. South Carolina's been good at times. Georgia certainly building and getting better every year under Dennis Felton, so that's another brutal division to deal with. And you know, I think you're right. I don't think they pay a whole lot of attention to it. Coaches might use it a little bit for a respect issue every once in a while, but like you said, preseason, it very rarely ever turns out the same as postseason.
But Shane Foster has a chance to have a big senior season, yep. And I think it's warranted for him to be chosen first team.
I agree. I think he's earned that. You know, Derek Byers was the guy last year that that didn't get a lot of notoriety and turned out to be Conference Player of the Year. And so Shane's going to have an opportunity to score a lot of points. It's going to be interesting to see how that chemistry builds around him with so many new faces involved. But I think he's looking to have a huge year, and if he does, Vanderbilt can have a great year too.
Joe, shifting to football, a lot of familiarity between Miami of Ohio coach Shane Montgomery and Doar's offensive assistants Jimmy Kaiser and Ted Kane.
Well, he played for those guys. Ted Kane, Robbie Caldwell, Jimmy Kaiser were all on that staff their first year at NC State. Ted Kane was the offensive coordinator. And Rick Logo, the defensive line coach for Vanderbilt, was one of his teammates on that team, as a matter of fact. So they are very familiar and have a lot of respect for each other. You know, Bobby was talking even on Monday. He said, you know, Miami may be a team that has struggled a bit at times, although they're 3-1 in the MAC. He said, but they will be well coached and well prepared. And the one thing, I was looking at their stats from their game against Temple. They've had to make a change. Their quarterback, they had a primarily running quarterback early in the year who got hurt, and now they've gone to a guy that's primarily a passer. They threw the ball 59 times against Temple. So I think Vanderbilt's defensive secondary's got to be prepared because they're going to put the ball in the air a lot.
You think the game will be over by dark on Saturday?
I hope so. It starts at 1.
It'll take so long, it'll have a designated hitter.
We don't go to daylight savings time yet, so I think we'll be okay.
Joe, the other remarkable thing about Miami of Ohio, and a lot of football fans, especially latter-day football fans, might not realize, is the incredible history at Miami of Ohio, the cradle of coaches.
Yep.
And beginning with Earl Red Blake, who went on to a legendary career at Army. One of his assistants was a guy named Vince Lombardi. Then Paul Brown, who only founded the Cleveland Browns and the Cleveland and the Cincinnati Bengals. Sid Gilman, just an offensive Yoda for about a half a century. Then a few guys named Woody Hayes, Ara Parseghian, Weeb Eubank,
that's right,
Bo Schembechler, yeah. And then over the last 10 or 15 years, the late Randy Walker, who went on to have a great run at Northwestern, and these days Ron Zook and Joe Novak, who's had a great tenure at Northern Illinois. So you look at that history, and it's staggering.
It's unbelievable, and they have I was looking at their media guide yesterday, as a matter of fact, and rightfully so, they dedicate a nice section of their media guide to just that topic, and they go back through the list, and they list some of these great coaches and their tenures there, and it's amazing.
Weeb Eubank was class of 1927.
Yeah,
but you think back that all he did was coach, Johnny Unitas and Joe Namath, won an NFL champion, two NFL championships with Unitas and a Super Bowl with Namath. Not bad.
And no, it's not, and it's one of those things, like you said, a lot of people don't know, modern day, don't realize that. You start rattling off those names, and if you don't say what university's involved, if you just rattled off all those names, most people would probably say, oh, you're probably talking about Notre Dame or Ohio State or someplace like that. No, it's Miami, Ohio, and they're very proud of their history. They're also, and I think it puts a little pressure on coaches that go there because they know the history. You know, they expect their teams to be well coached and well-prepared, and they are. It's kind of a tendency in the MAC, actually. We've seen so many teams come through here from the MAC that are all very solid football teams. They may not be the most talented, but they don't make a lot of mistakes usually and hurt themselves, and that's going to be the case again on Saturday.
1 o'clock, Joe, we appreciate it, and talk to you tomorrow morning.
See you tomorrow.